Hello, welcome to your daily briefing, August the 21st, 2019. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have brought us to this new day where we can continue our study of the events that are taking place around us. We thank you that you show us so clearly day by day everything that is happening that relates directly to your prophecies. We ask that you would continue to give us the strength that we need so that we might stand with you and for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today I'd like to continue taking a look at dominionism, and I'm reading an article that is found in the Political Research Associates website. That would be the Political Research Associates website. And the article was published on August the 18th, 2016. That's August the 18th, 2016. The writer of the article is Frederick Clarkson, C-L-A-R-K-S-O-N-N. And the title of the article is Dominionism Rising, A Theocratic Movement Hiding in Plain Sight. Dominionism Rising, A Theocratic Movement Hiding in Plain Sight. Here's the article. In June 2016, Senator Ted Cruz held a private meeting with conservative movement leaders to plot his political future. Attendees afterward cast him in the role of Ronald Reagan, who had lost the 1976 Republican presidential nomination to Gerald Ford, but led a conservative comeback in 1980 that made Jimmy Carter a one-term president. The thinking was that Cruz did well enough in the 2016 Republican presidential primaries before losing to celebrity billionaire Donald Trump, that he could plan to run again in 2020 or 2024. He was with kindred spirits, said Brent Bozell, the conservative activist who hosted the meeting, and I would say most people in that room see him as the leader of the conservative movement. The rise of Ted Cruz is a singular event in American political history. The son of a Cuban refugee and evangelical pastor, Cruz was raised in the kind of evangelicalism with a theocratic bent that has come to epitomize a significant and growing trend in American public life. That is, dominionism, a dynamic ideology that arose from the swirls and eddies of American evangelicalism to animate the Christian right and become a defining feature of modern politics and culture. Dominionism is the theocratic idea that regardless of theological camp, means, or timetable, God has called conservative Christians to exercise dominion over society by taking control of political and cultural institutions. The term describes a broad tendency across the wide swath of American Christianity. People who embrace this idea are referred to as dominionists. Although Chip Burleigh, then of Political Research Associates, and I defined and popularized the term for many in the 1990s, in fact, it had been in use by both evangelical proponents and critics for many years. So how does one define dominionism? Dominionism is a theocratic idea that regardless of theological view, means, or timetable, Christians are called by God to exercise dominion over every aspect of society by taking control of political and cultural institutions. Analyst Chip Burleigh and I have suggested that there is a dominionist spectrum running from soft as a way of making some broad distinctions among dominionists without getting mired in theological minutia. But we agree that dominionists celebrate Christian nationalism in that they believe that the United States was once and should be again a Christian nation. In this way, they deny the Enlightenment roots of the American democracy. Dominionists promote religious supremacy insofar as they generally do not respect the equality of other religions or even other versions of Christianity. Dominionists endorse theocratic vision insofar as they believe that the Ten Commandments, or biblical law, should be the foundation of American law, and that the U.S. Constitution should be seen as a vehicle for implementing biblical principles. Now, let me reread those 3 points for you, because they are very important. Number one, Dominionists celebrate Christian nationalism in that they believe that the United States was once, and should once again be, a Christian nation. In this way, they deny the Enlightenment roots of American democracy. Number two, Dominionists promote religious supremacy insofar as they generally do not respect the equality of other religions or even other versions of Christianity. Number three, Dominionists endorse theocratic visions insofar as they believe that the Ten Commandments, or biblical law, should be the foundation of American law, and that the U.S. Constitution should be seen as a vehicle for implementing biblical principles. Of course, Christian nationalism takes a distinct form in the United States, but Dominionism in all its variants has a vision for all nations. In many ways, Ted Cruz personifies the story of Dominionism, how it became the ideological engine of the Christian right, and how it illuminates the changes underway in American politics, culture, and religion that have helped shape recent history. Ted Cruz's father, Raphael, who serves as his son's principal campaign surrogate during his Senate and presidential campaigns, have been a profound and colorful influence. The elder Cruz was a member of the Texas Board of the Religious Roundtable, a leading Christian right organization of the late 1970s. Our conversation around the dinner table centered around politics as to why we had to get rid of this leftist progressive called Jimmy Carter, Raphael Cruz told an interviewer. Ted got a dose of conservative politics from a biblical worldview for a whole year when he was 9 years old. That was the year the Religious Roundtable hosted the Republican National Convention and attended by 17,000 conservative Christians. It was there that Ronald Reagan famously declared, "I know you can't endorse me, but I endorse you and what you're doing." Some see Ted Cruz as not only following in the steps of Reagan, but fulfilling a religious destiny. "Talk to me about your son and his rise. This must be a thing of God. It's meteoric," David Brody, chief political correspondent for the Christian Broadcasting Network, asked Raphael Cruz in an interview in 2013 during Ted's first year as senator. Evangelical historian John Fear explained why Cruz might be viewed this way. During a sermon at the New Beginnings Church in Bedford, Texas in 2012, Raphael had described his son's Senate campaign as the fulfillment of biblical prophecy that God would anoint Christian kings to preside over an end-time transfer of wealth from the wicked to the righteous. According to his father and New Beginnings pastor Larry Hutch, Ted Cruz is anointed by God to help Christians in their efforts to go to the marketplace and occupy the land and take dominion over it, Fear continued. "This end-time transfer of wealth will relieve Christians of all financial woes, allowing true believers to ascend to a position of political and cultural power in which they can build a Christian civilization. When this Christian nation is in place, or back in place, Jesus will return." Raphael Cruz and Hutch have long embraced a strain of evangelical theology called Seven Mountains Dominionism, which calls for believers to take control over seven leading aspects of culture: family, religion, education, media, entertainment, business, and government. The name is derived from the biblical book of Isaiah 2 and verse 2. "Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains." Seven Mountains Dominionism emerged in the 2000s through a campaign in the form of popular books, videos, sermons, and seminars. It has spread like wildfire across Pentecostalism ever since. The Cruises, are close to Christian nationalist author and longtime Texas Republican leader David Barton, who headed a super PAC in support of Cruz's presidential bid. Barton embraces the Seven Mountains, even while disingenuously claiming the term Dominionism is an invention of liberals intended to smear Christians. It's like saying, oh, you're a Nazi, oh, you're an anti-Semite, oh, you're a bigot, oh, you're a racist, oh, you're a Dominionist, he said in a 2011 radio broadcast. Ted Cruz has perhaps shrewdly neither affirmed nor denied the Dominionism that surrounds him. He is a longtime member of a prominent Houston Baptist congregation, but his embrace of the Dominionist vision is evident to those who are paying attention. When Cruz speaks of religious liberty, says John Fea, he means it as code word for defending the right of Christians to continue to hold cultural authority and privilege. Cruz, according to Fea, is engaged in the Dominionist battle of our time. All of this was pretty hot stuff, and Dominionism would no doubt have become more of an issue had Ted Cruz's 2016 campaign lasted longer. But Cruz is 45 years old in 2016 and appears to have a bright and perhaps historic political future. He won statewide office on his first try and has benefited from being underestimated. Since arriving in the Senate in 2013, he has made a show of sticking to his principles, much to the chagrin of his colleagues. But following his presidential run, Cruz is now one of the best-known politicians in the country and possible heir apparent to the Reagan Revolution. No small achievement for a freshman senator. Meanwhile, Cruz and other national polls comprise the tip of a very large but hard-to-measure political iceberg. There are untold numbers of Dominionists and Dominionism-influenced politicians and public officials at all levels of government, and who even after leaving office shape our political discourse. Roy Moore, the elected Chief Justice of Alabama Supreme Court, has been a rallying figure for Dominionists of all stripes for the better part of two decades. Most recently, he has led efforts to exempt Alabama from federal court-ordered compliance with marriage equality, citing his view of God's law. Moore's fellow Alabaman, Justice Tom Parker, has been on the court since 2004 and has employed theocratic legal theorist John Esmoa as his chief of staff. Others at the top of recent American political life have included Sarah Palin, Michelle Bachmann, Rick Perry, Mike Huckabee, and Newt Gingrich. Other prominent elected officials in the Dominionist camp include Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, a Republican from Texas, Governor Sam Brownback, Republican from Kansas, Senator James Lankford, Republican from Oklahoma, and Representative Stephen King, Representative from the South. Prominent politicians' involvement in Dominionism is certainly the most visible evidence of the movement's advance over the past century, but it's not the only result. Dominionism is a story not widely or well understood. Because this is so, it is important to know what Dominionism is and where it came from so we can see it more clearly and better understand its contemporary significance. Now, there are two streams in the mainstream. There are two main expressions of Dominionism, each influential far beyond their foundational thinkers. Briefly, Christian Reconstructionism, founded by the late theologian R.J. Rushdoony, advances the idea that Christians must not only dominate society, but institute and enforce Old Testament biblical law. Unlike the doctrines developed within specific denominations, Christian Reconstructionism has been a movement of ideas that transcends denominations and has influenced far more people than those who ever adopted the label. One of the movement's main contributors has been to provide a biblical rationale for political action for the Christian right and a theory of government and public policy development. Religious scholar Michael McVicker has found that Rushdoony's writings began to reflect an interest in dominion in the late 1950s. His vision of how to bring forth dominion men via advancement of a biblical worldview helped lead conservative evangelicals towards aggressive political engagement since the 1970s. Rushdoony is also credited with laying the foundation for, among other things, the modern homeschooling movement and fighting for maximum latitude for private Christian schools on issues like accreditation, normally a matter of government oversight, but something Rushdoony compared to government tyranny. The other mainstream of contemporary dominionism is the Seven Mountain Dominionism, advocated by Pentecostals of the New Apostolic Reformation. Seven Mountains is rooted in a Pentecostal movement of the 1940s, according to an academic book by John Weaver, published in the year 2015. The Latter Rain movement taught that there would be an outpouring of supernatural powers in a coming generation, allowing them to subdue or take dominion over nations. The Latter Rain movement promised this would happen along with the restoration of the neglected offices in the contemporary Church of Apostles and Prophets. Teachings about the supernatural authority of the apostles have provided key theological and structural elements of contemporary dominionism. These teachings, previously rejected as deviant by Pentecostal denominations, are now so ubiquitous that they are more tolerated than opposed. Latter Rain theology was revived under the aegis of longtime Fuller Theological Seminary C. Peter Wagner, who organized a global network of hundreds of apostles. Many of these apostles lead groups of non-denominational churches and ministries called apostolic networks, which sometimes comprise tens of thousands of members. Today, their theology and its apostles and prophets have assumed an increasingly high profile in religious and civic work in the U.S. They were well known in the past decade, for example, for mass rallies named The Call, led by Lou Engle, who is also internationally known for his anti-abortion and anti-LGBTQ activism. They have also gained political influence. For example, several leading apostles were among the 36 converters of a June 2016 meeting at which Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump courted the support of some 1,000 evangelical leaders. Within this movement, the justification for the offices of apostolic and prophetic is based on the biblical book of Ephesians, chapter 4 and verse 11. They are said to complement or complete the offices of minister, teacher, and evangelist into what is called the fivefold ministry. Apostles and prophets are top leaders, usually operating outside of denominations, which they are intent on dissolving in the name of Christian unity. They respectively lead these non-denominational networks and offer guidance with prescient thoughts and sometimes direct revelations from God. Sometimes the roles are combined. This is a very different religious environment than any other sector of Christianity and underscores the way that doctrines among the dominion-minded can be rather fluid, even as they see themselves headed towards the same or similar goals. It is important, therefore, to underscore that dominionism, even as it evolves, is not a passing fashion, but an historic trend. This trend featured fierce theological battles in the 1980s that pitted the largest apostolic premillennial dispensationalism that characterized most of the 20th century evangelicals against a politicized, dominion-oriented postmillennialism. The turning point in this theological struggle was the 1973 publication of Rush Dooney's 800 book Institutes of Biblical Law, which offered what he believed was a foundation for a future biblically based society, and his vision of generations of dominion men advancing the dominion mandate described in the biblical book of Genesis. The Institutes sought to describe what a biblically based Christian society would look like. It included a legal code based on the Ten Commandments and the laws of Old Testament Israel. This included a long list of capital offenses, mostly religious or sexual crimes. But Rushdoony and other leading Reconstructionists did not believe that biblical law could be imposed in a top-down fashion by a national theocracy. They thought the biblical kingdom would emerge from the gradual conversion of people who would embrace what they considered to be the whole Word of God, and that this could take hundreds, thousands, or even tens of thousands of years. Rushdoony and many Reconstructionists also believed strongly in a vastly decentralized form of government. Theorist Gary North writes, for example, that it's impossible to ramrod God's blessing from the top down unless you're God. Only humanists think that man is God. Well, we're going to stop there today as you take a look at that, but you see that their plans are moving forward. One of the things I notice in this article is that they're really planning to do away with the denominations and bring them all together. Now, Rushdoony at first did not think that Christianity, true Christianity, could be imposed, but as you read some of his work beyond his book, you realize that he has changed his mind about that. And Gary North, both he and Gary North, now embrace the idea. Before Rushdoony died, they both embraced the idea that true Christianity can and must be enforced and imposed. All of this is the fulfillment of what God has warned us concerning. We've been told that we will be forced to move in a particular direction, that laws will be passed, and if we do not obey those laws, we will be persecuted and imprisoned and put to death. But God has promised to protect his people. God has promised to correct the paths that we need to follow so that we will have a clear understanding of the truth and be able to stand with him and for him. Today I want to thank the Lord that he has made those promises so that you and I need not be afraid, but that we will be able to trust in him to protect us and to provide for us in the time to come. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you continue to do this for us day by day, to give us an understanding of the truth as it is. And we ask, Lord, that you would give us the strength to be consistent in our belief systems so that we will always stand with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been your Daily Briefing, August the 21st, 2019.